I tell you what, we're just blessed. God is moving and working in the earth today. Are you expecting something this morning? I'll tell you how good it is to be in the presence of God and just to come and to hear the word of the Lord. I believe that the Holy Spirit would speak to us today through God's word, that he would take the word of God and cause it to come alive in us and change us in some way. Now, if you believe that, I want you to pray with me. And if you don't believe that, will you just pray anyway? You especially pray. Amen. Let's get our hearts ready. Father, I just thank you for those that have come today to worship and to hear what you have to say to us today. Father, I pray that you would help me, Lord, to speak exactly what you'd have me to and to do all that you'd have me do. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there would be great freedom and liberty in this service today, that we would hear the word of the Lord, that we would know that God has spoken to us today. And I pray, Father, that as we go out in this world, it would bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are continuing our series, Praying Effectively. You know what? If our prayers are effective, I believe we will pray more and more. When we feel like our prayers aren't really making a difference, then we get discouraged and we end up not praying. I want to just tell you that Jesus is the authority on praying effectively. And so whatever Jesus says about praying, we need to take very seriously. We need to apply in our lives, and we need to be careful that we, I'm going to say it this way on purpose, all right? Do it the way he says to. Jesus tells us that we're to ask. He says, everyone who asks receives. The will of God is not automatic. We're to pray and we're to ask. Jesus tells us that we are to pray to our Father in heaven. We are not talking to a faraway and personal God that we do not know, but one that we have a relationship with, and yet we come to him in humility and worship. And Jesus tells us that we are to pray in his name. John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:16, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. John 16:23-24, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It's interesting that on the night that he was to be betrayed, that several times Jesus tells the disciples that they are to pray in his name. And this was not written down for their sake, but for ours, that we would understand how important it is to pray in his name. If we want our prayers to be effective, we pray in his name. We need to understand that praying in his name is not just a way to wrap up your prayer, to conclude a prayer. You know, sometimes people, when they pray in public, they say, well, you know, I pray in the name of Jesus, so all those people out there will know that I'm praying to the one true God. Well, you know what? We need to let them know that we're praying to the one true God, and that we are praying in Jesus' name. But it's more than just a way to end a prayer, and it's more than just a way to let people know that we're praying to the one true God. But we need to understand what we're talking about when we pray in his name. You know, I think some people think it's kind of like the Christian version of abracadabra. I mean, it is the magic words that you put in your prayer because Jesus said to pray this way, so if you say the magic words, then your prayer will get answered. In fact, some people use it almost like a vain repetition, where they just say it over and over and over, like if you say it enough times. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with ending your prayer in Jesus' name. And there's nothing wrong with saying in the name of Jesus many times. But the point is it is not that it is some magic words that if you say the magic words, that will make it happen. Now we need to understand the concept and what he was talking about when he says to pray in his name. In the Old Testament, nobody prayed in Jesus' name. It is part of the new covenant that we have. And we pray in the name of Jesus, listen, because he has made us righteous. We pray in the name of Jesus because he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, our advocate with the Father. He is ever interceding for us. And we pray in the name of Jesus because his name is above every name. So we come to the Father in Jesus' name. I want you to understand, I'm not saying that instead of tagging Jesus at the end of our prayer, we're going to tag him at the front and say, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Listen, it is not about those exact words. It is not about the words itself. It is about how we are coming to him. We are coming to him in the name of Jesus because that is where our righteousness is. Apart from Jesus, we can't even approach him. It's all that that name represents. So when we pray to the Father in his name, we come in his righteousness. We come on the basis of what Jesus has done and the price that he's paid. We certainly don't come to him on the basis, the merit of our own goodness, our own righteousness. No, we come in his righteousness. We come by faith in his blood. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. That means it does a whole lot of good. That means that when we come before our Father as righteous, that our prayer really makes a difference. It avails much. Now, how many righteous people do we have here this morning? Oh, I don't know why this is, but there's more hands at the front than at the back. I'm just saying. People are afraid to raise their hand when a preacher asks such a question. Some of you are like, no way am I raising my hand saying I'm righteous. Listen, it's only because you don't understand. Because none of us is righteous in our own self. Surely we know better than that. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. But Jesus has made us righteous. And so when we come in his name, we're not coming as old rotten stinking sinners under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. We're coming as the sons and daughters of God in the righteousness of Jesus. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, in him, in Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. And so when we pray in his name, you see, when we come to our Father in his name, we're coming washed in the blood. We're coming as people who have been made righteous by the Lamb of God. I'm glad you don't have to be perfect to get your prayers answered. If you did, there wouldn't be any answered prayers. No, we come in his righteousness. You know, we read about Elijah a few weeks ago, and it said that Elijah was a man with like passions as we have. Listen, he was just like us. He wasn't a perfect man, and yet through his prayer, God brought a great revival. And so we need to understand that when we pray in his name, we're coming to the throne of grace as people who have been made righteous because we're coming in his name. You don't come to God on your own merit. your own righteousness. You come to Him in the name of Jesus. And that name gets us access to the throne of grace. You know, they say it's who you know. And anybody ever do a little name dropping? Well, listen, this is how you get into the throne of grace. You come in His name. And it's not just magic words. It's from the heart that we come in His name. It's all because of Jesus. So we come to the throne of grace, but we come humbly, but we come with confidence because we're coming in His name, not on our own. And when we use the name, when we come in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, our Father hears our prayer just as though Jesus was praying. Now, if we believe that, that's awesome. That's a powerful thing. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 says, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." The holiest. Listen to me. That's as close as you can get. The holiest. To come into the holiest, the very presence of God, by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. You see, Jesus made a new way that by the blood we can come into the very presence of God. And when we pray in His name, that's what we're doing. By faith in the blood of Jesus, we're coming into that holy of holies. We're coming in righteous before Him. We use the name of Jesus. When we come in the name of Jesus, listen, our Father hears us as though it was Jesus praying. Listen to this, what Jesus said in John 16, 26 and 27. He said, "In that day you will ask in My name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you." Now, Jesus is interceding for us, but He's saying, He's letting us know, that's not what He's talking about right here. He's talking about you asking the Father. "For the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved Me and have believed that I came forth from God." You see, He's telling us that we can go to the Father in His name. You see, because we love Jesus and we believe He came from God, we can go to the Father in His name, and the Father will answer our prayer. He loves us. He loves you. And you can come to Him in Jesus' name. So get rid of the guilt, the condemnation. And when you go to pray, you go like somebody that the Father loves. You go as somebody that's been made righteous by the blood of Jesus because you're coming in His name. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." You know, I know there are always going to be religious hypocrites and people who try to play games with God, who are going to say, "Oh, well, I'm righteous, and I'm not under guilt and condemnation. It doesn't matter how I live and what I do." And they use the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Jude actually talks about this. They use it as a license for immorality. And I'm certainly not talking about being phony. I am talking about sincere Christians who are in Christ. People who come to their Father in the name of Jesus. That they are approaching the throne of grace. They realize who it is that they're talking to. But they come in that righteousness with no condemnation. See, Satan is, the Bible tells us, is the accuser of the brethren. He gets a lot of people to help him. But he's the one that's behind it. He is the accuser of the brethren because he wants to get people to back down because of their own guilt, because of their own weaknesses. You see, if he can get you under guilt and condemnation, then when you pray, you'll have a hard time believing that God would ever answer your prayer. It will weaken your faith. No, it's when we come to God knowing that Jesus has made us righteous that we know we can come to the throne of grace boldly because we come in Jesus' name. We pray in the name of Jesus because there's great power and authority in His name. That name represents the one who has all power and authority. It is the most powerful name in heaven and earth. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, hear me now, those in heaven, those on the earth, those under the earth. At the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus has such power that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That's the name of Jesus. It is not a vain repetition. It is not some powerless phrase that we speak out in our prayer. No, the name of Jesus. Jesus, that is the most powerful thing that can come out of your mouth, because that name, every knee bows to that name. I know that in our world you see that name used and abused and thrown around in a way that is fruitless and futile and pointless. But I want you to understand that that name has all of the power of heaven behind it. God has given Him a name, the Bible says, that is above every name. And we know that there's a spiritual warfare that is taking place in this world. I know there's some people who try to pretend like it's not there. Well, that doesn't make it any less real. And there are some people who know there's a spiritual battle, but they just kind of ignore it and hope that, you know, things just turn out okay. But there is a spiritual battle that is taking place in this world all the time, whether you see it or not. You see, we may not see it with the natural eye, but we see the results of it, both good and bad. We see the things that happen in our world. Listen, they are not just coincidence. They are not just accident. There is a battle that is taking place in the spiritual world. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That is not where our battle is. It is strange to me how so many Christians think that the answer is for us to fight against flesh and blood. I'm not telling you that we're not to do anything. I'm telling you that the battle is won in prayer. I'm telling you that the real battle is a spiritual battle, and the things we see in the natural are the results of the spiritual battle. So the Bible says very plainly, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, listen, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In heavenly places. That's where the real battle is. I don't even understand all of that. How can I fight against all of that? You don't have to understand everything, but you need to understand this. The name of Jesus is above every other name. His name is above the rulers of darkness. His name is above the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm telling you, the name of Jesus is above. We have this weapon, this power that backs our prayer, the name of Jesus and all that it represents. See, it was a new covenant principle to pray in His name, because that night after He was betrayed and they cried, He arose from the dead on the third day. He conquered the hosts of hell. He was seated in the highest place at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And so we pray in His name. That name, that every power, every might, every dominion bows to that name. That's why we pray in His name. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, and that is not how we fight. You will not accomplish the things of God with the arm, the strength of the flesh and of man. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we don't do the work of God with the arm of the flesh. It is the Spirit of God. Listen, 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. This is how we win the battle. We pull down those strongholds. And here's the greatest weapon that we have: the name of Jesus. To invoke the power of that name, I'm telling you, that's powerful. Oh, we can pull down those strongholds, and we see the change in our world, in our country, listen, in our society, in our church even. We pull down those strongholds. On his last night with the disciples, after Judas has gone out to betray him, Jesus told the disciples in John 14:12-14, he says, assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. What does that mean? I go to my Father. He's going to be seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Greater works than these will he do. I know that, you know, when people read those words, they just think, well, nobody could do greater works than Jesus. Well, he said so. And I just want you to understand that Jesus did so many mighty miracles of healing and deliverance and saved people, changed people's lives. But he was one place at one time, and today his body is all over the world. All around the world, people who love Jesus, who serve Jesus, the body of Christ is doing the works of Jesus. We had a dear servant of the Lord just this week. Most of you know Billy Graham passed away, went to be with Jesus. And Billy Graham preached to hundreds of millions. Millions and millions of people were born again in his ministry. I'm telling you, the impact of the body of Christ today is phenomenal. Don't think that God is done. No, he's still doing the same works and greater works. It's happening all around the world. And you may not read about it in the paper or see it in the evening news, but I'm telling you that God is still fulfilling what he said in this passage of Scripture, that greater works will he do. And whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What power. Listen, when he says, whatever you ask in my name, I know that there are people who will pull a phrase of Scripture out of context and they just go crazy with it, and they get into error. Whatever you ask in my name. He did not say that you can ask for all of your earthly desires. That kind of stuff disillusions people and messes people up. He said, in the context, We're talking about greater works than these will He do, and whatever you ask in My name. He's talking about the work of the kingdom. He's talking about the church. He's talking about people's lives being changed. And He says, whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. And we need to understand that the name of Jesus is so powerful. It's so awesome. We do not dare abuse the name of Jesus and abuse the authority of the name in trying to just get God to meet our own selfish needs. I want to remind you that James says, you have not because you ask not. And then he says, you ask and still don't have because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lust. No, we got to ask according to the will of God. We got to use that name. He says, whatever you ask for in My name, we got to use that name for the kingdom's sake. He doesn't give you authority to do anything outside of His will. You have to be under His authority. And I'm telling you, the name of the King is to be used to advance His kingdom. Jesus does not give you a blank check. I hear people talk about the blank check as though Jesus just signs His name on the check and gives it to you and says, here, go ahead and use it any way you wish. It's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus turns over all of the power of attorney to you so you can just do anything you want. No, Jesus gives us His name so that we can carry out His will, so we can establish His kingdom in the earth, so we can do what He wants. As I said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. We need to hear it. Prayer is not how we try to get God to do what He doesn't want to do. Prayer is how we invite God to do what He wants to do in this world. So we pray in His name. And we use that authority to do what Jesus wants to do, His works. You know, in the days of kings, when a king gave a decree, people would carry it out in His name. They would say, the king has said. And if someone spoke in the king's name, that carried the authority of the king. If someone were to speak for the king and say something that the king did not say, they could be put to death. In fact, I read in the Old Testament just this week where the Lord said, if a prophet says something and says, I said so, and when I didn't say so, he's to be put to death. And I'm just telling you that we should not abuse the name of Jesus, the authority behind that name. We need to understand what it's for. It is not for our selfish ends, but it is for His work and for His kingdom that we use the name of Jesus. We advance the kingdom, healing the sick, casting out devils, sharing the good news of the kingdom so that people will turn their lives over to the King. I'm telling you, that's the power of the name. And this is not a game. We should consider carefully that we do not abuse the name. That name brings power when we are under His authority. We got to be careful that we have submitted our hearts to Him and allow Him to truly be King in our lives and use us. Listen, I want to go to Acts chapter 19. This is a story that, well, I just think it's funny. There's some funny stuff in the Bible, and this is one of those stories that it just hits me as funny. But there's also some spiritual truth that we need to see here, something we need to understand so that we don't make the same kind of error that these guys did. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Now, I just want to stop right here and say that what they were trying to do and cast out evil spirits was a good thing. In fact, Jesus said that in his name we would cast out devils. And so these guys are trying to use the name of Jesus. Here's what they said: "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now that's a whooping. I mean, it's bad enough when you're wounded, but to get naked and wounded, that's a shame. You know what I'm saying? I mean, especially there were seven of you, and one guy whooped up on all of you and sent you out naked and wounded. How in the world did this happen? They were using the name of Jesus. They were trying the name of Jesus. They didn't even know Jesus, but they heard about Paul using the name of Jesus, and they thought they would give it a whirl. You see, they were doing the very thing that I was talking about at the beginning of the message. They were saying the name of Jesus, but they weren't really praying in Jesus' name. They were trying the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you that the name of Jesus is not something that we try. It's something we believe in. It's something that we embrace with all of our heart. Believe in His name. Do you believe in His name? Most people know John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And some people know 3:17, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But you know what? It gets pretty slim when you get to verse 18. There's not hardly anybody that knows that verse. "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If we believe in that name, we believe in all that it represents. Believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, Peter and John are on the way to the temple one day to pray, one morning, just going to pray. And they pass by a lame man who's begging for alms. And Peter says, "Look on us." And I'm sure that the man was excited when he heard those words. He probably thought that he was going to get a big offering. He was going to get some sum of money. But Peter had something much better for him. Acts 3:6, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now I just want to stop here for just a minute. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I certainly believe that the church is here to help people. But this is not a social gospel. And we offer this world something they can't get anywhere else. It is not a handout. It is the name of Jesus. It is something supernatural that can change their life forever. He said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have." Wow, did he have something? He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. I'm telling you, and all the people were in wonder and awe. They were absolutely amazed because they knew who this was. Verse 11, it says, "As the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Now, all the people come running together, and Peter says, why are you intently looking at us as though we had done this with our power? As though it were by our godliness. You see, Peter directs all of the attention, all of the glory to Jesus. I know that in that day there were those who thought of Peter and Paul as superstars, and in our day there seems to be the superstars. It's not about that. It is about Jesus. And Peter got that. He said, why are you looking at us as though this was our power or godliness? You see, he just tells them it's not even because we're so godly. It's the name. Church, it's the name of Jesus that gets it done. It is the power and the authority of that name. That's how this happened. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, he tells them, this is the Jesus that y'all crucified. And then he says this very strange, powerful statement. He says, through faith in his name. You see, when Peter spoke that name, when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he fully believed that something powerful was going to happen. He actually believed that when he invoked that name, faith in that name, you see, that power was going to heal that man. Why is it that so many use that name today and expect nothing? The name of Jesus has such power. You got to believe in the name. In our religious culture today, I'm telling you, we struggle to believe in the name like that. And I want to go all the way back to Exodus 20 and verse 7, when the Lord said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, I know they didn't use the name of Jesus back when the law was given, but you need to understand that Jesus and the Father are one. And if you take the name of Jesus in vain, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. Taking the Lord's name in vain. Listen, that is not just connecting curse words to the Lord's name. See, a lot of Christians are bothered by people in the world using the Lord's name in conjunction with their curse words. It's blasphemy. But they themselves are taking the Lord's name in vain when they use it for no purpose. Listen, the word vain means producing no results. Vain means to no purpose, useless, to no avail, futile, pointless. To use the Lord's name in vain is to use it futilely, with no purpose, with no point. When we use the name of Jesus, it should be for a purpose. We should never speak that name lightly. We should never speak that name just throwing it around, throwing it out. No, we're using it for a reason, because it has power. When you do that, when you use his name lightly and just casually throw it around, then when you say it in prayer, it doesn't mean much, because you've been throwing it around all the time. There is no name higher. That is the most powerful name in heaven and earth. Holy. Use that name. But use it with purpose. See, he said in the scripture, we read in James how the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And one of the definitions of vain is to no avail. No, we're using that name to avail much. We believe in that name, that when we use that name, something powerful happens. Listen, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What power the church has in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. To tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. The power of that name. We go out in the power of that name to do His work, to see His kingdom come in this world. One last passage of Scripture I want you to turn to, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we're just going to look at 29 through 31. Now, this is a prayer of the early church when they were experiencing persecution, and this is just the last part of the prayer for time's sake. But they said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. That's what I want, to speak his word boldly. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. How are people healed? How are the signs and wonders done? It is through the name. See, they knew it. Through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I want to tell you, church, we got to know this is how we get it done. In the name of Jesus. All that that name represents. I want you to remember, it's not just some vain repetition you speak out of your mouth. No, it is the righteousness of God that you walk into the throne of grace with. It is the power, the authority that's above every name in heaven and earth and under the earth. And we believe in that name, that when we speak that name, something happens. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come and listen. This morning, we're just going to take a few minutes to pray and to worship. And I believe that in the name of Jesus, that there'll be healings, there'll be signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for every person that's come here today. I thank you, Father, that in the midst of our battles, our struggles, we know that there is a name that's greater than whatever it is we're facing. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name for breakthroughs this morning, for healing, for deliverance. I pray, Father, that walls will come down in the name of Jesus and that you be glorified in it all. Amen, amen. Listen, as we sing and worship and as we pray, I just want to invite you to come. Maybe you're dealing with a bondage, with an addiction. I want you to know the name of Jesus is higher than the name alcohol, than drugs. The name Jesus is higher than whatever sickness, it doesn't matter what it is, diabetes or cancer, whatever it is, I'm telling you, the name of Jesus is higher. Whatever that struggle, maybe something you just haven't been able to get through, to break through. And I just encourage you this morning, the name of Jesus is enough. So as we sing, as we worship, if you need prayer for any reason, you come. Amen.